So good morning, everybody. Can you hear me at the back? Yes. Would you say something so I can? Yes. Okay. Great. So this is not an inauguration. This is a first trial to see how the space works and whether we can hear each other and whether we need some acoustic help or not. So, somebody should please remind me where we are. Yes.
At the very bottom, 1321 is where I have it.
Yes. Page 707, bottom of the page, next to the last line.
There are no more books.
There must be more books. Come on. You can come and sit here. Or there, yes. Sit here. We have just sent somebody to look for more books. While we're waiting for more books, we could just remember our brother in the ashram, Peter Steiger, who passed away unexpectedly yesterday afternoon. He was one of the people I have known from 1970 onwards, and Mother had given him permission as his sadhana to translate Savitri into German. And he focused on that for many years as a publication of his first translation. But a couple of years ago, we got a bilingual edition. Perhaps the German part was revised, and on the other side, we've got the English. I think this is a good way published translations. Probably in future this will be the way of doing things. So as we continue with our pilgrimage through Savitri, we can think about this fellow pilgrim who has to the other worlds. Susmita, if you go down this side, you can hold on to the railing. So we're reading in book 11, the book of Everlasting Day. We've passed the climax, the great climactic moment when the Supreme grants Savitri's prayers for earth and men and finally tells her that she can descend to earth, Satyavan. And then comes his long prophecy of what her victory will mean for the future of earth and men. So that is the passage that we are reading now. We've reached the bottom of page 707. We'll read on from line 1321. This universe shall unseal its occult sense. Would you like to start? It's the bottom two lines here. Try to project your work.
This universe shall unseal its occult. Creation's process change its antique front. An ignorant evolution's hierarchy. Release the wisdom change chained below its base. The spirit shall be the master of his world. Lurking no more in forms obscurity, and nature shall reverse her actions rule. The outward world disclose the truth it veils. All things shall manifest the covert God. All shall reveal the spirit's light and might, and move to its destiny of felicity.
Thank you. So this is continuing on from what we read last week, where the Lord is revealing to Savitri and Satyavan dual power at work in the world. What will happen when the Superman comes to reign as king of life on earth? That line comes on page 706 towards the bottom. So we were reading about the effect that the advent of this higher species will have. And at the bottom of page 707, we read, "This world shall be God's visible garden house. The earth shall be a field and camp of God. Man shall forget consent to mortality and his embodied frail impermanence. This universe shall unseal its occult sense, its hidden meaning, and creation's process shall change its antique front, the outer appearance that it has been wearing for a very, very long time. But this process of creation will change. This hierarchy, the levels and stages of an ignorant evolution will release the wisdom chained below its base." I think this refers to the transformation of the inconscient, which we were reading about last week in the Life Divine class. That hidden wisdom, which is currently locked and chained in the inconscient, will be released, and the spirit shall be the master of his world, lurking no more in form's obscurity, in this disguise of all the appearances of the world, but he will show himself openly. And nature will also change. Nature shall reverse her action's rule. The outward world shall disclose the truth it veils. All things shall manifest the covered God. At present, the rule of nature is that the outward veils and hides the inner. But even the outward world shall disclose, shall reveal the truth that it is veiling at present. And instead of hiding the divine, all things shall manifest the covered God. At present, God is covered, hidden, secret to us, at least to our senses. No? But all shall reveal the Spirit's light and might and move on. Evolution will continue. It will be moving on to its destiny of felicity, of bliss. I think Mother's spoken about this like it being like a ball suddenly being turned inside out. So instead of the God, the divine, the spirit, the soul being hidden within, it will be on the outside. I think that's what's suggested by this word reversal. Shall we read on, Dana Lakshmi? What do you want?
Even should a hostile force cling to its reins and claim its rights, perpetual sovereignty, and man refuse his high spiritual faith, yet shall the secret truth in things prevail. For in the march of all fulfilling time, the hour must come of the transcendence will. All turns and winds
winds
towards this predestined end in nature's fixed inevitable course, decreed since the beginning of the world in the deep essence of created things. Even there shall come as a high crown of all the end of death, the death of ignorance.
Anybody would like to ask or comment anything on this passage? I think you're.
All things to be enlightened, the man of
I think you're right, Patty. Yeah.
Question: what hostile force might still appear under these circumstances?
He's asking about this hostile force. How should, even should a hostile force cling to its reign? At the moment, we are experiencing this opposition of the upward aspiring movement in us, in things, towards a higher truth. But there also seems to be a force which is dragging us back, bringing up again things which we had thought were finished and done with. So he speaks about this hostile force, this force which appeared at the very beginning of the poem. You remember the mind of night, the foreboding mind of night, which wants to prevent all this illumination. It wants to switch the evolutionary clock back. It wants to go back into the comfort of unconsciousness and darkness. No? So even if that continues, even after the advent of the next race, the next transitional race, even if a hostile force continues to cling to its reign and to claim the right to perpetual sovereignty, that it will always be able to rule, no? Even if human beings, if the human race refuses its high spiritual fate, even so, the secret truth in things shall prevail. Even this refusal, this resistance, even the stupidity of human beings, if we don't manage to see what a great future lies in front of us, if we don't collaborate enough, still there's a secret will, a secret truth in things, which will prevail in spite of all the resistance, because it has been decreed in the march, in the forward movement of time, which fulfills everything, no? The hour must come of the transcendence will. We can say that this is the will which Savitri expressed when she was offered these four boons. She was taken into the realm of the transcendent, beyond time and space. And she was told, you see the whole creation from there and see how things are and what is supposed to happen. And from there you make your choice that won't be given again. That's a, when you've chosen, you've chosen. And when she chose, then the Supreme Lord said, what you have chosen is my choice. What you have asked will be fulfilled. So that is the transcendence will, that victory has happened. So that hour of the transcendence will happen. It has to happen. Everything in the universe is turning and winding towards the predestined ends which the transcendent has foreseen and decreed. That is happening in nature. Nature's course is fixed and inevitable. It's been decreed since the beginning of the worlds in the deep essence of created things. So that is going to happen. And it even includes, as a high crown of the whole process, it will bring about the end of physical death and the death of ignorance. The full light will prevail. This is Sri Aurobindo's great affirmation and promise, which should give us the faith and the courage to face all the difficulties and apparent contradictions of the world. Everything is turning and winding towards his predestined end. Sometimes in order to go up a mountain, you have to go a long way down first and then up again. Well, anybody who's done trekking will know about that kind of thing. And paths, you think you can see your destination, but you can't get there directly. You have to turn and wind to reach the place where you have to go. So that is the great promise. But then he adds something. Don, would you read?
But first, hind feet must set her feet on earth, and man aspire to the eternal life, and all his members feel the Spirit's touch, and all his life obey an inner force. This too shall be, for a new life shall come, a body of the superconscious truth, a naked field of supernature's might. It shall make earth's nescient ground fruits pollen, make even the ignorant the transparent road, through which shall shine the brilliant winds of truth, and truth shall be a sun on nature's head, and truth shall be the guide of nature's steps, and truth shall gaze out of her nether deeps.
Thank you. Is it clear?
Do we have any examples of truth in our world?
Yes.
I don't know that what they think, the truth we get the truth.
Yes. But an essential step in this realization, in this full fulfillment, must be the reign of truth on earth. And last week we read something about truth. No, we read that it's indefinable, ungraspable to our mind. So here he says that there's a secret truth in things. This truth, this law, this guiding reality is already encoded into this creation, and it will have to reveal itself. But it has to gain a certain degree of acceptance from the creatures. We are granted a certain freedom of choice, of acceptance. The soul's acceptance, of course, should rule. But there's that hostile force opposing. So before this full realization can come about, high truth must set her feet on earth. And I think this is a very significant line for us, because that's the mission that's been given to Oroville, no? That this is supposed to be the city, the society that's created to be at the service of truth, and it's been created to be a field for the working out of the ideals of Sri Aurobindo's vision. She gave this as three versions of a greeting, that we could just use the word truth, or we could say in French, au service de la vérité, or in English, at the service of truth. Instead of saying hi or bye, we could say truth, truth. But of course, it has to be sincere. We shouldn't just use it carelessly, but we can aspire for the victory of the truth. There's one of Hutta's visionary paintings. It's one of two paintings. The first one is called The Victory of Truth, a Victory of the Truth. Mother has given this name. And the second one is called Truth and Love. And to Hutta, Mother wrote that divine love can only be manifested on earth when it's been prepared by the victory. So there's also a beautiful message which comes to my mind just now, where she says, she defines what is Sri Aurobindo's work. She says that after Sri Aurobindo left his body, I remained here to do his work, which is by serving the truth and enlightening mankind to hasten the rule of the divine's love upon earth.
We express this also at the
put that mantra on the staircase, cling to truth for everyone to see when you go for darshan. She must have meant it.
Yes.
I wonder when that was written.
You can, you're in the ashram, you can do some research and find out.
But these two paintings by Hutta that you mentioned, are they part of the Savitri series? Or
they're not part of the Savitri series. At the same time that Hutta was working on the Savitri series, she made a number of visionary paintings. We had an exhibition last February, and these are two very special paintings in that collection. We have reproductions of them hanging in Hutta's room downstairs. Shall we go on? Marie-Ange, will you read?
When Superman is born and nature's king, it threatens her natural behavior and natural world. Is her lack of food strike too fire in nature's land? Is her way of telling, please shall be upon the earth who made the law? Man too shall turn toward the spirit of all.
Thank you. So when this higher species becomes the king of nature in earth evolution, just the presence of that higher consciousness will transfigure the world of matter, and in what to us now seems the unconsciousness of nature on all the levels, in that higher consciousness will light up the fire of truth, the energy and light and force. So it won't any longer be the mind ruling the earth. It will be a higher truth consciousness that will be ruling. And then human beings too will feel that influence and turn towards the spirit's call. I think the spirit's call is always towards truth. That's what spirituality is really, an ever expanding and ever more and more rich and complex and delightful truth. So human beings will awake to everything that is already in us as a hidden possibility, everything that's sleeping in our hearts. It's not that it will have to be imposed on us against our will. Something within us will wake up and say, oh yes, that's what I meant. That's what it was all about. That's what we wanted. So we'll wake up to everything that nature meant, everything that was intended when earth was formed and the spirit made this ignorant world his home. So human beings, the human race shall aspire to truth and God and bliss. That will be the common goal and aim. And that higher kind, that higher species, will be helping human beings. They will be helping to interpret a diviner law than the law of ignorance. They will be instruments and tools for working out the supreme design. This higher kind, this higher species, will bend down to lift up human beings. When we hear this term Superman, normally, in normal parlance, there's something frightening about it. The idea of a higher species that will come along, and they'll be more powerful than we are, and they will just impose their will on us. But when Sri Aurobindo speaks of the Superman, he doesn't mean anything like that. He means something that is really fulfilling our own higher aspirations, and that will be full of love and compassion to lift up those who have not yet reached that higher level of development. So human beings will desire to climb to our own heights, and that truth consciousness from above will wake up a truth that is already there in the depths, a nether truth, a truth that's ruling on the lower levels of evolution. So when that gets woken up, even the dumb earth, even matter, will become a sentient force. It will have senses, consciousness, expressed consciousness. So then there will be possible a union between the highest levels of spirit and the lowest levels of nature, nature's base, material base of inconscience. They will draw near to the secret of their separate truth, why they've been expressed in these two opposites. They will recognize each other as one deity, spirit and nature, spirit and matter of one divine being. The spirit shall look out through matter's gaze, and matter shall reveal the spirit's face. Sutta, would you read on? Yes, just. Yes. Well, particularly when he's writing poetry, he's not making philosophical distinctions. But I think if we look in his other writings, he does speak of perhaps even a series of transitional beings. In The Life Divine, we've been reading about four levels of Gnostic being before the full supramental achievement. But all of them will be Gnostic beings. They will be expressing the higher knowledge and the higher truth more or less integrally and powerfully. Does that answer your question?
This line of truth above shall wake another truth. I think that's what happened in 1956 when Mother said the inconscient swallowed up the truth. The supermind that came down. So I had a thought that, you know, when Mother used to give little cashew nuts or whatever, she was transmitting something to that food over.
Yes.
So when you, if you consecrate your food and then eat it, then also that can help bring the truth into the matter.
Yes, she says whenever we put some consciousness into matter, when we organize our lives, even our material lives, this is helping that evolutionary process. No? But I think there's quite some further steps of evolution to go between us. We inefficient. We are also transitional beings, but we are not very high up the ladder. No? There are several more steps to go. Andras, you wanted to ask something? Sorry?
What's the meaning of Gnostic?
Gnostic. Sri Aurobindo uses it to mean spiritual knowledge. So he said, we here, human beings, even if we are a little bit transitional beings, even up to the level of spiritualized mind, we're still living in the ignorance. We are living in a twilight consciousness in which there's more or less light, but it's a twilight consciousness. At the next higher level, which he calls higher mind, that will have a power of truth thought. And beyond that, there's a power of truth vision. And then there's the level of intuition, which is truth perception, penetrating truth perception. And beyond that is the overmind with its vast truth. And it's only beyond that that the full truth consciousness takes up all these lower levels and uses them as an integral instrumentation. We've been reading about this in the Life Divine the last few months. So I think that's what it says here, no? All is turning and winding on to that predestined, complete, integral revelation of the truth in the divine life on earth, in matter. Thank you. So, Shuddha. Shall we pause there? Let's pause there. As the evolutionary process goes on, higher and higher powers get established. And even now in evolution, when a higher achievement is made, it has some effect. It assimilates to itself what has been already realized. So there's always this integrating process going on. So when man and Superman unite, shall be at one in harmony, and all the earth becomes a single life, it will be a completely different kind of life from what we know now. So even the multitude, the many, the masses, shall hear the voice. At the moment, it's quite an exceptional experience. In the past, it's been an even more exceptional thing that people have heard the Spirit's voice and turned to commune with the Spirit within. But this will become a mass phenomenon. The multitude shall strive to obey the high spiritual law. And this earth, even the material level, shall stir with sublime impulses, and humanity will wake up to its deepest self, to its soul, and nature will become conscious and recognize the hidden Godhead. So there'll be some response, even from the many, from the masses. They'll be able to respond, and they'll be able even to bear that splendor, that intensity of the divine's rush and his impetuous knock at unseen doors, the unseen inner doors. Perhaps in our present condition, if some such stupendous rush would come, if that impetuous knock comes, it would be very difficult for the body to bear, for the body and the lower levels. But all this is going to be lifted up. Yes, it will be a really a mass movement experience. Yes, of course, he can be everything. There's nothing he cannot be. But impetuous, yes. Does it say impetuous or does it say imperious? Impetuous, yeah. So he's strongly, he's knocking. Let me in. No? So our whole lives will be lifted up by a heavenly passion. The human mind shall share in that gleam, that ineffable gleam that can't be expressed in words, the truth gleam, and their hearts shall feel the ecstasy and the fire. And there will be some effect in the bodies also. Jerry. Few lines down. Earth's bodies. He's right? Okay, you go ahead, Jerry. You are right.
A heavenly oppression shall upheave men's lives. The mind shall share in the ineffable gleam. The heart shall feel the ecstasy in the fire. Earth's bodies shall be conscious of the soul. Mortality's bone slaves shall unloose their bones. Mere men and the spiritual beings grow and see awake to them the divinity. Intuitive beings shall touch the nature's peaks. Revelations stir the nature of death. The truth shall be the leader of their lives. Truth shall dictate their thought and speech and act. They shall feel themselves lifted nearer. As if a little lower than the gods. For knowledge shall flow down in radiant streams, and even darkened mind quiver with new life, and kindle and burn with the ideal's fire, and turn to escape from mortal ignorance.
Thank you. Anything to share about this passage? Heave up. It's like a great wave of intensity, divine intensity, coming and lifting up the lives of human beings. More intensity. Yeah. Life force is anyway dynamic, no? But this is a more intense divine passion which is going to come and heave it up. Like, could be like the eruption of a volcano, but I see it more like a great wave coming and lifting everything up.
So this idea of the spiritualist person is very calm, this image is always equalized, but
well, of course, it's a very important first step is to establish equality and calm and steadiness. Otherwise, definitely, we will not be able to bear that impetuous knock on the inner doors. But when that has been established, we'll be able to bear these intensities and these upheavals of divine passion. The nature will change. That's what he says next, not these, that the minds will change. The steps he mentions, actually, the mind, the heart, and the bodies. And we will give up our addiction, our bondage to mortality. We will begin to believe in the possibility of the immortal state, and maybe even to recognize the possibility of a more immortal substance filling our physical bodies. So just ordinary human beings are going to grow into spiritual beings, and we'll see this divinity which so far hasn't been expressing itself wake up in each of us, and these rays of intuition will touch the highest levels of our being. And revelation, it's interesting, revelation is the revealing of what is hidden, no? And Sri Aurobindo often uses it happening in the lower, less conscious parts of our being. But that's where the light of revelation shines, showing many secret treasures. So a revelation shall stir the depths of the nature, but above all, it'll be the truth that shall be the leader of their lives. Truth shall dictate their thought and speech and act. So this is the establishment of the truth consciousness, the supramental truth consciousness, even in human beings. And then they shall feel themselves lifted up nearer to the sky, nearer to heaven, as if only a little lower than the gods. I think this is a biblical expression, no? Yeah? That human beings should be only a little lower than the gods. This will happen because knowledge, the spiritual knowledge, will pour down in radiant streams, in streams of light and consciousness. And even the darkened human mind will quiver with new life. It will begin to wake up. It will begin to catch fire, kindle and burn with the ideal's fire, and turn to escape from mortal ignorance.
Does that not be mind? Does he also indicate that matter will have be conscious of their soul in any ways also?
Yes, eventually. He says that, no? Earth's bodies shall be conscious of a soul. The material body. Norman.
The frontiers of the ignorance shall recede. More and more souls shall enter into that. Minds lit, inspired, the occult sunlight, and lives ablaze with a sudden inner flame. The hearts grow enamored of divine life, and human wills tuned to it. These separate selves, the spirit's oneness. These senses of heavenly sense grow capable. The flesh and nerves of a strange ethereal joy, and mortal bodies of immortality. A divine force shall flow through tissue and cell, and take the charge of breath and speech and act. And all the thoughts shall be a glow of sun, and every being a celestial throne. Often a lustrous inner gorge, lighting the chambers of the slumbering mind. A sudden bliss shall run through every limb, and nature with a mightier presence filled. Thus shall the earth open to divinity, and common nature illumine common acts with the spirit's ways, and meet the deity in common things. Nature shall live to manifest secret God. The spirit shall take up the human flesh, this earthly life, become the life divine.
Thank you. Just over 20 years ago, 1995, November 24th, 1995, Nirodh Baran, Sri Aurobindo's scribe for the later stages of the composition of Savitri, laid the foundation stone for the Savitri Bhavan complex in a spot not very far from here. I think not this spot, a bit further, but anyway. And he said that he had asked the Lord to indicate to him a passage that he should share with us on that day. And so the passage starts at the top of this page, 710. Truth shall be the leader of their lives, and runs all the way to the bottom. So So we have a beautiful recording of Niroda reading these lines on that day. So it's nice to read them here in the first day of using this space.
Can you do something?
We can play it, yes. I was thinking maybe next week we could play that at the beginning of this session. Shall I read it? The truth shall be the leader of their lives. Truth shall dictate their thought and speech and act. They shall feel themselves lifted nearer to the sky, as if a little lower than the gods. For knowledge shall pour down in radiant streams, and even darkened mind quiver with new life and kindle and burn with the ideal's fire and turn to escape from mortal ignorance. The frontiers of the ignorance shall recede. More and more souls shall enter into light. Minds lit, inspired, the occult summoner here, and lives blaze with a sudden inner flame, and hearts grow enamored of divine delight, and human wills tune to the divine will. These separate cells, the spirit's oneness feel, these senses of heavenly sense grow capable. The flesh and nerves of a strange ethereal joy, and mortal bodies of immortality. A divine force shall flow through tissue and cell, and take the charge of breath and speech and act, and all the thoughts shall be a glow of suns, and every feeling a celestial thrill. Often a lustrous inner dawn shall come, lighting the chambers of the slumbering mind. A sudden bliss shall run through every limb, and nature with a mightier presence fill. Thus shall the earth open to divinity, and common natures feel the wide uplift, illumine common acts with the spirit's ray, and meet the deity in common things. Nature shall live to manifest secret God. The spirit shall take up the human play. This earthly life become the life divine. I think that's where we are going to stop for today. But we can hear Mother reading some of these lines. Yes, Ananda Reddy will be giving a lecture in this hall on the 19th of February. He'll be speaking about Kathopanishad and Savitri. And that day will probably be the official inauguration of this space. Today we are conducting a sound test to see how it works. I noticed as I read that I was getting some kind of tinny echo in my ears on certain consonants. So the experts will have to come and tell us what to do about that. But on the whole, it seems to work. No? Anyway, you can give your feedback.
Dampened.
We can hear each other, no?
Yeah, we can hear.
So I think it would be nice to hear Mother's voice now. Yes. Yes.
Spirit, my dear, shelter all
thanks to Sri Aurobindo.